Hello, patrons. Raven here with a very special exclusive episode. First off, I want to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart for supporting the show. I wouldn't be able to do this without you, so you'll always have my undying love and gratitude. Today, we're joined by Bethany Semix. She's the current director of New Leaf Naturals, a roller derby rock star, and a brand development aficionado. Today, she's here to share her journey with plant medicine and elaborate on the peace she's found through microdosing. So let's welcome Bethany to the show. Also, a quick disclaimer, while I make every effort to broadcast correct information, I myself am still learning. I promise to double-check all my facts, but I realize that plant medicine is a constantly changing science and art. So the views and opinions expressed on this show are intended purely for educational and informative purposes. No topics are intended to be construed as medical advice. Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Bethany. I'm really honored to have you on the podcast, being able to share your experience with plant medicine. And if you don't mind, just introducing yourself for the listeners.
Hey, everyone. I'm Bethany, aka B-Train, and I'm obsessed with this little stuff called plant medicine and getting people off of really gnarly pills. And just like providing education and being an advocate for, you know, getting people off of the really weird stuff that destroys their bodies. So that's me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I feel like we should start to adopt this maybe plants first, or just I hate to hear that it's always the last ditch effort, and it's always after you've tried 12 pills, after you've undergone some type of life altering event or something really poorly. I wish that we would just like lean towards the natural substances and maybe just try cannabis, maybe just try mushrooms, maybe just try eating better. Stuff like that might solve a lot of issues.
Yeah, stay out of the drive. How about you stay out of the drive-thru? And then we can have a conversation. Because if you're in the drive-thru and you're trying to fix whatever else you have going on, it's a little counterintuitive. It isn't really going to make total magic happen.
Yeah, exactly. I want to ask you a little bit about your background. I know that in the past you've worked in the sports industry and then you've pursued your MBA. Now you're working with New Leaf Medicals behind the scenes within the CBD industry.
Yep.
I'm kind of curious how you got to that position and how plant medicine led you on this path.
Absolutely. So 4 score and 1,000 years ago, when I was in my 20s and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and now I just have really good eye cream in my 40s, and you will never know my age. So I built the number one brand in roller derby. I was at a bar. I saw a flyer for roller derby. It's like skate fast and hit people. And like as an ice hockey player, I'm like, that's awesome. All me. So I went to like my first practice. I had these like little Skechers skates with like blue sparkly wheels. I'm like, I love this. And yeah, and then I got like my full setup the next day and played roller derby for about a year. And then there was an opportunity within my league. There was this chick, she had this company at the time, it was called Rink Rash Skatewear. And she's like, I'm a mom, I'm in real estate, I have this idea, I think I can build it, blah, blah, blah. I just don't have the time. Like, I'm your person. She's like, but she was looking at somebody else to like take over the business, like get the inventory out of her house. So I'm like, okay, but who's gonna do like sales and marketing and like biz dev and like build it? And she's like, oh, Strychnine will. I was like, I love her. She's really good at like inventory and banking and accounting, just like back of house stuff. I'm like, okay, but I'm gonna make you an offer and I'm in. She's like, what? I'm like, I want in. So how much, what's the buy-in? So I bought in. And then a year later, Strickland and I took over the business and then we named it Wicked Skatewear.
Oh, nice.
So in that time, perfect storm, I was running out of the mortgage industry screaming. So that's where my sales background comes from. It's like smile and dial mortgage industry hustle. And then I was starting grad school. I was going for my MBA because I knew that the mortgage industry wasn't for me. At the same time, I had no idea where I was going to go. And I know that like going, like plugging into new networks and plugging in with new people, you know, spending again, $80,000 on an MBA. Sure. Sounds great. But like, I didn't know what to do. And I knew that wasn't my path. So I went for my MBA. I ran screaming out of the mortgage industry, starting with this like new company. And plus two, like if I'm starting a new business, I know nothing about business. Like my undergrad is in environmental science and policy. That is not like,
yeah. Interesting.
I know. So that's not a profit and loss statement. That's not managerial accounting. That's not marketing. That's not branding. It's just like, here's geography. Like I could build you a GIS database, but that doesn't like build your organization from good to great.
Did you
So
pick up those sales skills like from the real estate then?
yeah, and I don't know, like I've always been a hustler, and I watch, and pretty much I had, my parents are super cool, and like I was just a hustle household. Like if you want it, you have to go get it. Like you cannot sit back and wait because no one's coming to save you.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I don't know the first thing about roller derby, but it sounds similar.
Exactly. And it takes a special type of person to be like, you know what? I'm gonna put on roller skates and I'm just gonna let people beat the fucking shit out of me. But at
Right?
the same time, I get to do it to you too.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't get
So
past the first step of just putting on the roller skates and getting on there, so.
I could teach you how to boogie on roller skates. It's super fun.
Good to
It's a
know.
really good
Is it
time.
harder than ice skates?
It's different.
Okay.
So yeah, it's different. It's a different movement. It's a different edge. It's a different vibe. So depending on like the style that you're skating, yeah, it's different. So
That's awesome. Yeah. Now
yeah.
you're getting into your second master's now. I'm curious about that.
Okay, so I'm in my second year now. I'm in 607, which is like the negative effects of cannabis. So when I first, and again, like I'm still rocking a 4.0, and like that's probably going to change this. Probably go. I don't know. Like I definitely like this class is the one. Like I don't mind the quizzes. It's just the things where it's just like, you know what? All of these questions are right. Choose the best one. And I'm like, go fuck yourself because you're coming from academia. And what I'm not saying like what we do in the field is totally different. At the same time, like having a conversation like with a patient or with a friend or with someone, like that's not my thought process.
Oh no, exactly. That's kind of the whole reason I wanted to start this is because this is like we always hear the very sterilized stories. You know, we always hear the very clinical, the very academic stories, and it's
Yes.
important to hear the real patient experience.
Correct. And I mean, obviously, science, data, math, and like we need that research and we need that
Oh
study. And they're
yeah. Oh
also
yeah.
like, and we also need to bridge the gap between like, okay, these people are human. And like, I think it was the last class or the class before where it was something about like the type 2 diabetes. And like, you're assessing this patient with like, well, this person has nerve pain from their type 2 diabetes. But like, what do you, can like, what cannabinoid therapy are you going to give to them? I'm like, can we talk about their food?
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of other things in play.
Gonna eat some fucking broccoli, man. Like, stay out of the, again, I always come back, stay out of the drive-thru. So, yeah, I mean, again, same thing. And plus, going for this program and specifically is, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So, I'm in the cannabis space, specifically because it found me. I was living my perfect life in Newport Beach, California. I sold my shares to Wicked Skatewear in 2015. And, for a few years, I was just consulting. So marketing, branding, helping companies. I'm a glut. Like I love small businesses. So a
Nice.
handful of my friends and just like people find out about me through the grapevine. Just like bring them. Like I have this idea or I have this thing. So people just hire me on to whether it's build a marketing department. I think I started a telemarketing team for a real estate agent. I was just doing everything that I possibly could and saying yes because I had to say no for so long
Yeah.
because. A small business owner. We had multiple retail locations up and down the West Coast, online business, international events. So I was on the road, and then I was also playing roller derby, which is like a full-time job in and of itself. So being on their competitive travel team, I had work. So it was work. I was going for my MBA and playing roller derby. Oh, yeah, I had no time. So for years, I just had to say no. So after I sold my shares, I was like, I'm gonna say yes to everything. And then I don't know, I was building a marketing department for, it was actually in the mortgage space and it was for a tech company. So I was like, oh my God, it's best of both worlds. I love marketing. It's my mortgage experience. And then I got a phone call and I usually get these phone calls and text messages all the time. Hey, I need your help. I got some like sales marketing biz dev questions. I was like, perfect. No problem. I got you. So on the phone, a couple minutes in, going through, hey, we got the startup. I'm in Colorado and I knew this chick from playing roller derby. So here's what I'm doing. I was like, that idea sounds great. How can I help you? What questions do you have for me? She's like, I need you. I'm like, wait. I'm like, I'm on the phone with you right now, dude. Like, what can I answer for you? She's like, I need you. I'm moving to Denver. What? So the company is called GoFire. It's a metered dose inhaler or a metered dose vaporizer. So When you're just talking about vape and stuff like that, specifically, like that's what brought me to Colorado was this organization that, the oil is on the outside of the heating element. And it was precision dosing. So like each click on the cart would provide 2.5 milligrams of whatever that content or whatever that oil is. So then everything would get heated up. So then you would know specifically like what you're taking. And then there was a really gnarly app that went along with it. So it was also like, again, on the med tech side in the cannabis space. So you can find your medicine, you can track your medicine, you can dose your medicine, and then you can learn everything in the space.
Oh, wow. So you were right there at the cutting edge as soon as you got there, then. That's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I knew, I mean, and I found and I tried CBD before. And again, you can totally heckle me, heckle my face. Like, here's how I found like CBD. So my neighbor at the time, he's a former combat Marine, and he would like run security for grows in California. And then I also knew he smoked a ton of fucking weeds, so, and he was also easy on the eyes, which was really nice. So I'm like, hey, Mike, what are you doing? And I texted him. I was like, I have the weirdest question in the world and request for you. It's July 4th. My dog Waffles, he doesn't really like fireworks. So can you hot box my dog? He's like, what? He's like, why don't you go to Sprouts? Like, go to the fucking grocery store, you dumbass. Like, go to the grocery store, get some CBD. I'm like, I don't know what that is. So I go to Sprouts. I got some kid. I'm like, I'm here to get CBD for my dog. And he's like, cool. What one do you want? No, man. So I got something because I think carrier oil was like olive oil. Because I don't know anything. I had no idea about anything back then. So, I mean, I tried it out on Waffles and I tried to dose him a little bit. And I liked it because he, because I've given him anti-anxiety medication before, but it's like he turned into a zombie and he wasn't my dog. So I thought this was cool because, it took the edge off. And while he was still a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, he wasn't as crazy during fireworks. And living in Costa Mesa, California, it's pretty much coast like it's just bombs over Baghdad just for a month, and it sucked. So I found that, and then I had another guy at my gym, and I was going to a really gnarly gym at the time, so anything to help with recovery I was in. So he actually had like a vape pen and stuff like that, and I'm like, I don't okay, like I'd try it, but like I wasn't on a consistent regimen. I don't like coughing. I don't like smoking. So it's like so I was like the worst candidate. And he was just like, here you go. I'm like, great, thanks. I don't care. I think I probably threw it away. So yeah, that was how I found CBD to begin with. And then getting that phone call from GoFire and then moving to Colorado within like 3 weeks and just like, wait, where am I? And I've always been on the health and wellness and nutrition, like look at your labels, look at your products, because there's some nasty shit out there, and especially like in the cosmetics industry. Like I'm more on the skincare side, more adamant about that. Like there's really like nasty things in toothpaste, so don't let me in your bathroom ever, because I'll just sit there and read the ingredients, and you'll be like, ooh,
No, let me in on some of it. Let me in.
that.
What should I not be putting in my body?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, like glycerin's disgusting. Anything like petro or butcha or anything like that. That base ingredient's gasoline. So
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can
it's
avoid the drive-through. I gotta go in the bathroom sometimes though, so.
I'll just read your labels. Ew, this is gross.
No, what you said about your dog like handling the fireworks, that definitely speaks to me a lot because recently, I don't know if there was like a change in legislation or what the case is, but a bunch of fireworks stores popped up over here pretty much overnight. There's just fireworks stores everywhere. And with that, people are doing fireworks all the time. If they're listening, please stop doing fireworks all the time. There's no need to do it. But my dog just gets terrorized. So I mean, I tried giving her the CBD treats and stuff, and they work wonders. It's also really nice for like car rides. So I mean, she doesn't really get sick or anything, but she does definitely get really anxious. So they're really nice for car rides, Joe.
Yeah, and it, not even that too. Think about like your combat veterans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, like some of that stuff doesn't stop. So there's having like fireworks pop off that. That's gnarly. So yeah, whatever we can do to try to keep people like as sane and safe as possible, I'm here for it.
Absolutely. I'm curious, you mentioned to me that you've found relief yourself, like with mushrooms and microdosing.
Yes. So I use cannabinoids to sleep. So I'm more on the CBD side. I'll throw in some CBN as well. And me like I go back and forth between soft gels and tinctures, because we offer both at New Leaf. So Yeah, that's like on the cannabinoid side. And then I spend a lot of time, most of my friends either have a TBI or they're in a wheelchair. So whenever they talk about like, no, I microdose mushrooms so that like I'm less angry. I'm like, that just spoke to my soul. I'm angry all the time. How do I not? I'm like, how do I take the murder out of my heart? So it was a couple, I think it was a year or two ago. 2 years, maybe 2 years now, where I like I first got introduced like through one of my veterans groups, one of my really good friends, going out to the ranch this weekend as well. Yeah, they just put together like their own little microdoses. So I forget the size of the capsule, but I think it's like a one. If it's 000, that's too big, because again, when your best friend has a TBI, I was like, hey, what size capsule do I get? Because I wanted to make them at home. He told me the wrong size. He told me the horse pill. So then I'm like, every like my kit lands, I'm like, what? This isn't right, dude. He's like, my bad, I'm sorry. I'm like, get it in that. So, that was a funny batch. So yeah, it's probably about a couple years where I've been microdosing mushrooms, probably like whether it's Monday through Friday, or if it's PMS week where I'm trying not to fucking already kill everyone. Like it takes the murder out of my heart. So if like I wake up in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 a.m., I'm not angry. So I mean, with work, with school, with life, shit gets stressful. And like pandemic didn't help. Like I'm a social person. Now you're
Oh,
locking me
yeah.
up. Ugh. I mean, I live in a really beautiful place, so like I don't mind sitting on the like. At that time, I lived in a different spot where I pretty much like overlooked the Rockies. Like, I don't mind sitting on my patio all day, every day, like looking at the Rockies, but like, it gets old, man. Like, what?
I can imagine for sure. Well, what about like trial and error or any of that kind of thing? Did you try any different type of regimens or how did you kind of settle on what works for you best?
I mean, trial by fire. I talked to my friends. I'm like, how many do you take? I'm like, okay, so you're an extra level crazy. You take three at night. I'll do one.
Yeah, I don't.
I'll just do one. Like that works. Like, maybe I'll take them in the morning, maybe not. Like it's fine. Again, please understand, like I don't like being high. I don't like going to Asgard. Like I don't need to go to another dimension. I just need like
I picked that up whenever you said maybe a tincture or maybe some soft gels of CBD or CBN. I was like, the Thrasher hat and the chain necklace threw me off.
I was like, yeah, I got my bearing necklace. I'm definitely like re representing today for sure. And it was always funny too. Like, I just remember this one time where Strychnine, my old business partner, she went to Toronto for the World Cup. And again, I prefer maybe a bottle of wine or like beer, or like I'm more of like the booze hound. And then she definitely smoked a ton of weed. So whenever, we'd be together, I'm like, I want to be like as happy as you are right now, like smoking a joint. So whenever I would smoke weed, I'd be like a fucking ferret on crack, just like spinning around, running around, running around, and then I'd go to sleep. So like I never, I'm like, we just took the same thing. I'm like, this is stupid. So again, everybody has a different body and how we like react to terpenes and nose. So like, it makes sense now that some strains work for her one way, some strains work for me a different way because I'm psycho. So yeah, so when she was in Toronto, we always call them safety meetings. So I don't, so like she basically like rolled a bunch of joints and then she wrote on that Love Wicked because the company name was Wicked Skatewear. And then she sent me a text message with like picture of like the joints with Love Wicked on them. She's like, who's the marketing genius now? You're wild. I'll keep going.
That's funny.
So yeah, so that's how, yeah, like I don't need to go to Asgard. But there was this one time my buddy made me chocolates using mushrooms. So I was like, you're again former NFL Super Bowl ring with a he's a big boy. So I was like, again, how much do you take? So then I scaled it back, but I don't know what I thought it was my mushrooms. I think it was like some other strain and I have no idea. So there was one night, it was a Friday. I think that we had an event earlier in the day. I'm like, I'm just gonna eat some mushrooms. I'm gonna clean, I'm gonna boogie and dance around. Just have a chill Friday night by myself. It's like 40, 45 minutes in, maybe an hour. And again, like, area under the curve, here we go. Then I'm just like, I need to sit down. So then, like, next thing like, I get the kaleidoscope. So, like, all my ribs and my teeth come out and they start like kaleidoscoping around. And then I'm sitting there just laughing at myself. I'm like, you fucking dumbass. Like you overdid it. But then I'm just sitting there, like, because it's mushrooms, and you're just like happy, laughing at yourself for being an idiot. So,
Yeah, I think, I mean, of
there's that.
course, microdosing has its benefit, but I also think that the macro doses have their benefit in like maybe once every couple months or something.
Yeah, correct. And I honestly haven't gone there.
That's
I
okay.
haven't. No, yeah, just haven't.
I'm curious, did you talk to your doctor at all about this whenever you were thinking about microdosing?
Oh, conventional. I don't talk to doctors.
Yeah,
Sorry.
okay. That's fair.
Unless it's like my like lady doctor to make sure, all the bits are in check. But I don't have a general doctor. My like the one like the one trusted medical professional that I have. He's back. One of them is my acupuncturist back in California. Like he's a one person that like I truly trust, like with my body that I listen to. And then here I have just a group of general. Of like really good people who are medical professionals. So if I have any questions, they're usually the ones that come to me. They're like, "Hey, we want to talk about this and that." I'm like, "You guys are the ones with the I love you. You guys are the ones with degrees." But again, like, I don't know, I keep my food really healthy, non-GMO at home. I did have a pool party, so there are Doritos at my house. Don't judge me. So again, I mean, hashtag blessed. I don't really have like really gnarly medical issues, and which is why, like, again, like I'm 42. I know I told you I wasn't gonna tell you how old I am. At the same time, like early
I'll bleep
40s
it
and
out, don't
exactly.
worry.
It's pretty much like now, like 40 to 45 is where you make those life choices. Do you want your end of life to suck, or do you like make choices now to be healthy, put really good stuff and nutrition into your body and support it? So, like, as you're aging, life doesn't suck as hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine that as with age, you'll kind of become more aware of the things that I've put into my own body. And so, those choices will always catch up with you. So I definitely understand that. You kind of alluded to it, but I definitely want to ask, you don't have to incriminate yourself. How did you source the mushrooms yourself?
Absolutely. I grow them.
The reason I ask is because, like, it seems like you can't, there's no one to ask. There's no one to ask that you can trust. There's no, like, doctors or professionals or anyone you can even talk to about it. So it's like, I guess I got to learn mycology then.
Totally. So it was actually symposium last year. I went back to Baltimore. So I'm a terp. So I went back to Maryland. So I was really excited about like it was the University of Maryland offering this program. I'm like, absolutely, I'm in because I don't want to take a cannabis class from, I don't know, I don't want to call them like a self-declared expert on LinkedIn.
No, I definitely feel you. I definitely feel you. You want to make sure, like, we want to have true legitimacy partnered with academia behind these types of things, because that's the future, you know? I mean,
Exactly. And I'm sorry, Pfizer dropped $6 billion. Oh, it's coming. It is. I don't care what y'all say. It is coming. So there's going to be a place for everyone within the marketplace and like within the space. At the same time, we are Western medicine, and people just go to the doctor and they want a pill. And if Pfizer's going to provide a pill, people are going to buy it. And then over time, there's definitely like, I mean, I work with a handful of naturopaths and doctors who are more of natural versus take this pill, it solves everything. So there's spaces for everyone. But back to where I get my stuff, when I went back for symposium, I'm hanging out with some of my friends. They're like, "B, look, we're growing mushrooms." I'm like, "That's cool." What? So like how? They're like, "Oh, it's great." So we get our brick, basically like get the brick on Amazon for like $25 a bag or like $50 for two. Like that's easy. I was like, and then what? They're like, oh, we get this, we get our spores from, excuse me, this company called Michigan Myco. So they're out of Michigan, research purposes only. So they have certain spores, certain things. I'm like, I don't know what to get, man. Like, I don't know. So I started out with just B plus and Penis Envy. And then because they're in Baltimore, they're at sea level and I'm in Denver, and I am a nerd. So I'm trying like different ecosystems. So I'm like, so after, the bag is ready to like be transferred into your hot tub or anything like that. Because back in Baltimore, they just have it in like a box. So I tried it in a box, but that doesn't work at elevation when it's dry. Like it's it's a fungus, it's a mushroom. Like,
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
you need a lot of stuff. So, then I trial by fire. I just figured out, I'm like, okay, well, here's how. Again, let it sit in the closet for 4 to 6 weeks. Like, oh, you fungusy? Cool. Transfer it. And then I just like spray it down morning and night. And just, I mean, even that, just the growing is like super therapeutic as well, because technology is away, you're growing something, and it's just like that moment of zen. We're like, I made this. This is cool.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely therapeutic. I think that that's like growing plants, but also specifically growing mushrooms. Like you can see it overnight. The difference is like, yeah, I'm doing this.
Yeah, and then when the veils drop, you're like, you're my babies, you're ready.
Yeah, but it's also kind of sad because it's like it's time. Oh,
I
did
know.
have you ever eaten them like fresh?
Yes.
The best, the best.
Yeah, I have. Yep. And then, and here too, like, I don't need a dehumid. I don't need like any of the like dehumidifiers or anything like that. I just leave them on my kitchen counter, and a couple days later, I'm like, here, friends. And then, yeah, it's funny on the work Slack, because like when you acknowledge stuff, I pretty much like put the mushroom everywhere. Yeah, so I just got, it was, yeah, earlier this week, I just got like my, I just reordered another setup, because it's been a few months like since I had anything, because I think I went out, I don't know, I went on trip or went on vacation or something, and then it kind of had a brick going, kind of not. I was on like my third flush, and it got weird. So like, I don't know. It like it. I don't know if it was like extra psilocybin in there, but it turned a color. Like it started turning colors. I'm like, I don't know if that's good.
No, I get that because it's like once you break them off, it's like, or you cut them off, then the whatever's left over starts to get all nasty. It's like, should I keep going or should I just toss it? Actually, I usually just throw them outside and bury them, and then come back every couple months to see if anything's there.
Yeah. And then like, because it's in, because it's like I put foil down, and then I'm like looking at everything, and like there's some schmeg there. Like, what is, I'm just gonna throw it away. But then, because one of my girls, like, she will go to Asgard and stay there and love it. So she's like, here's what I look for in mushrooms. It's got to be like a really dark purple, this and the other things. And you know, it's really potent, it's really strong. And like, that's cool. So that's, you know, when I'm growing stuff, I'm like, oh, it's a different color, it's dark. Wait, that looks weird. I don't think that'll be good. And then I chatted and I checked with somebody else. I'm just like, hey, I just want to get like a double check and opinion on this. And they're like, B, you don't want to give someone like weird mold.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Thanks.
Yep. I mean, I guess in that case, it's got to be careful of all the other stuff that gets in there, not necessarily what it actually has.
Right, exactly. And it was when I was showed one of my medical professionals like how to, you know, build everything, and because we created like a little mushroom grow in his basement.
Nice.
I'm like, here's what I do. And he definitely like has a little shake. He has like one of those little shaker things where like you put it down, you hit the button, and it's like reverbs everything, just like to make sure the solution is like all even. I'm like, I didn't do any of that. And here's your flood, like here's a brick pre-made for you. And then he's writing on the bags and doing everything and just being all medical professional. I'm like, I didn't do that. I spray it with water.
Yep, that's what I always tell my friends as well. Like, it's as complicated as you want to make it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Working in your background in the cannabis industry, and then even going on to get an MBA and a master's in cannabis, what kind of insights do you think we can learn from like the cannabis industry as a whole to the inevitable like psychedelic industry? It sounds weird to even say that, but it's inevitable at this point, right?
No, I'm here for it. I think that psychedelics will have greater adoption faster than cannabis. And then it was actually at our symposium in the fall, chatting with some of those medical professionals, because, you know, like we had the panels. So they also like conversations happened between like cannabis and psychedelics. And I still made that comment where I'm just like, psychedelics are going to hit the market faster and be like more adoptive. I can't grammar, it's Friday. I think that they will be more accepted. That's the A word. They will be accepted in the marketplace and like by people more than cannabis, just because we're dealing with fuck, like 75 years, 100 years of stigma at this point in time. So it's just like working back the history. And you know, they have the capacity to do that research. And Hopkins is doing some great things with the research that's coming out of there. So I just think that with, you know, taking a look at history, taking a look at the data, taking a look at just like vibe and how people are interpreting the medicine and how they're speaking about the medicine, I think that it'll be psychedelics before cannabis.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Just to be able to pave the way to research. I mean, we often say that like federal prohibition is the biggest thing in the way of research, but we have institutions like Johns Hopkins and stuff doing a lot of research in the psychedelic field, and there's a lot of research still being done on, in the cannabis field as well. But I
Yeah.
think that what it's going to lean on is being able to come up with a model. I don't know if we're going to see things like, I don't know if we're ever going to see mushrooms sold at like a dispensary or something like that, or if it'll be
No.
strictly clinical, or if it'll be more like a retreat center type model. I think there's going to be a couple different models that arise out of legalizing them, but I'm really curious to see what's going to be the most beneficial for healing for the people that really need it. Because I think that like there are models now, but not everyone can like go to Mexico and do a mushroom ceremony, you know? Not
Right.
everyone can like find all the find a way to do that. So it's like getting the medicine to the people that really need it, even if it's just something like paving the way to teaching people how to grow it.
It'll probably, honestly, like I think it'll be because you can get ketamine online now. Like you can get ketamine like shipped to your house by doctors.
Yeah, with the telemedicine model, yeah.
Correct. So I think that would probably be the easiest way to get the medicine. Also, PS, I tried to grow lion's mane as well as turkey tail because I'm like, oh, they look so cool. I want to grow this. Failed miserably.
I have lion's mane in the closet behind me.
You
Trying to
do?
grow, trying, it's spawning right now.
Oh, you have to keep me posted, man, because I like it started to, and I'm like, this is gonna be great. Because like you look on the internet, like they look cool. Like lion's mane looks like a lion's mane, and a
And super
turkey
good
tail,
for you.
yeah. It's great. And I was like, I'm gonna grow it. This is gonna be awesome. I'm gonna be a magician.
I
No.
also have reishi going, but it doesn't seem to be. I mean, it seems to be growing better than the lion's mane, but they're both having a little bit of trouble.
Right. I have no idea. I'm just gonna stick to psilocybin.
Tried and
This
true,
time
right?
I know, like this time I have golden teachers and another penis envy coming. I'm like, I know I can grow this. That's what I got. Yep. Yeah, so I think that I mean I'm sure ceremonies are going to be awesome. At the same time, like if we can get it out there with telemedicine and just having the conversations with the patients and just everyone being honest and like stay out of the drive-through. If we're making the change where it is plant medicine, just like being really honest and setting intentions, I'm just like, nope, I actually want to heal instead of just like my family or my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my husband, my wife. Like they told me I have to heal. Like it comes from the inside. So if they do want to heal, they'll figure out the way to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. What kind of lessons do you think we've learned from the cannabis industry that hopefully we can apply into like the budding psychedelic industry?
Ooh. Oh.
I mean, first off, banking. We should have never had to do the
Yeah.
whole banking situation.
Yeah. Well, I was even thinking of, well, banking, obvious. Yeah, that's definitely like the access to the funds, absolutely. But I mean, like, it's coming out of the black market and it's coming out of, I mean, the way that I think about it, it's just like coming out of the black market, like thinking about like the marketing and the branding and like how we're speaking about it. You know, is it more clinical? Is it taking the language from, you know, the current commercials, what Pfizer's doing, what like, and just making it similar so you don't have to make like such a huge jump. Where you have a strain called basically like Thunder Pussy, go fuck yourself. But like, you know, having those like strain names in the cannabis space, you know, Granddaddy Purple or just, you know, like some of these OGs, like it definitely like words have meaning. And if that meaning is tied to something else, it's going to take that much longer to relearn and to get to where we need to go. So if the psychedelic market can kind of copy and paste what the existing pharmaceutical market is doing with their languaging, with their packaging, with, you know, how it's presented, people, Gen Pop should be able to get there faster.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Kind of, I feel like there's a lot of issues whenever it comes to cannabis, and a lot of things that come up in terms of stigma or barriers. Whenever, and it's the root of it can be confusion on how it's communicated. or people like even just down to like the sativa indica paradigm and stuff like that. I
Right.
think so. If we
They're
can
all
maybe
hybrids.
nail down, yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly. We have no, there's no genetic authentication at this point. Everything's a hybrid.
Right. And then Blue Dream, if it's, Blue Dream, if it's grown in Vermont versus Blue Dream that's grown in California, your soil composition will have an effect on everything. Your growing conditions will have an effect on everything. And then it's not a consistent product.
Oh yeah, and if that's even if the lineage is Blue Dream at all.
Yeah, exactly. So again, like creating consistent medicine, that's hard in the cannabis space. And I think it will be a little bit different in the psychedelic space.
I think so, just because there's so much room to grow right now that we haven't yet muddied up the waters with all this like false terminology, trying to get strains and cultivars and chemo. Like there's so much arguing about semantics that maybe if we can lock in some real ones, we can just go ahead and move forward and grow together.
Exactly. And I mean, I refer to that more of getting stuck in the day to day.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, like there are many days I'm stuck in the day to day, and it takes a conversation or it takes something like to bring me out of it so that I can like see the big picture and like, oh, here's where we're going. Stop standing in your own way to make some magic happen.
Yeah, I definitely get that. I'm also a little bit curious, have you like experimented with any other classical psychedelics and have they had any type of effects on you either therapeutically or not?
No, I honestly have not. I do what there's a chick in my class who has mentioned that there's someone in California who does like microdose spray of acid. And I'm like, oh, you can just make me happy? And again, I'm not trying to go to Asgard. I don't want to go places, but I can just take a sublingual spray and just be happy. Yes, I'm in. I think it's only like $100 for a bottle. I'm like, I'll take four. Like, come on, man.
Yeah,
So,
seriously. Interesting.
yeah.
I haven't seen the sprays. That'd be a really good idea.
Yeah. So that's what they did. It's a sublingual spray, and then you're happy. And I'm like, oh, I want to try that. But yeah, I don't want to go places, man. Like, I didn't even do it in college. Like, I don't want to do it now. Come on.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Well, I often tell people that I like CBD because it almost makes me like extra sober. It's weighs off all the anxiety, all the
Yep.
extra stuff that like can distract you and just put a haze and filter over your world. It's like I'm extra clear right now.
Yeah. And then my anxiety gets extra super weird when I get that way. It's just like, is this the way that I'm supposed to feel? Why don't I feel like this way every day? And then I'm like, it's just, it depends on where I'm at. I'm like, brain, you need to shut the fuck up. Just like, just
Just
stop.
be.
I know.
I'm also curious, you have a year under your belt with this master's program, and you
Yes.
already have a few years' experience as the director of sales there. What do you see yourself doing once you complete the program?
Dude, I have no idea. Like, I have no clue. It's just like, I want to learn as much as possible. I want to talk to people that are in different industries or they're doing different things. So for my capstone project, there's a chick in my class that's a death doula. Yeah, I made that same face. So instead of like bringing someone in, like your traditional doula, like you help people like leave. So whether it's hospice, like they're her clients, everyone like average age is like 70, 80 or 90. And instead of being like hopped up on morphine and being on these wild drugs, the side effect of cannabis is euphoria. When I'm shit my pants, I want to be happy. Like, come on, man.
What that makes me think about is all the research that they're doing regarding end of life anxiety with psilocybin
Yeah.
mushrooms.
And it's you mean end of days?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that is super, super interesting. A death
Yeah.
doula. I'm curious to see. Yeah, whenever I was in the program as well, I thought like, man, there's a lot of very diverse backgrounds, but that's a position I've never even heard of.
Yeah, same. So, I mean, she was in a Facebook group. She's like, "Yeah, I'm a death doula." And I'm like, "I'm adding you. I'm stalking you." And then I'm researching everything about it. So, in the state of Colorado, like you can get your license as a death doula. And then I think that there's only like six or seven in the state of Colorado. But I wouldn't like I don't feel comfortable like taking a certification the 6 weeks later and be like, you know what, I'm a death doula, because like I don't have the story or the confidence to be like, I'm gonna be the one to take you out, brother.
No way, that's a lot of responsibility.
Exactly. Like I could barely take care of my dogs, let alone like somebody literally putting their life in my hands, or like on their way out. So I think that there's also like different services, is not so much like services as well, but also just like the financial piece and making sure that like your documents, your wills, your estates, your home, and just like all the paperwork going out is all good too, along with, what medications are you on? Like, how do we incorporate cannabis therapy into your routine? Can you eat? Can you not? Like, I have no idea. So I'm excited to, I don't know, I think I'm in the group of six or seven because we all like attacked her. She's like, I'm gonna start a group. I'm like, it's me. You're picking me. You can either say yes or I'm gonna just get the restraining order right now. So it's your choice. I'm gonna be in that group.
Yeah, I definitely feel that though, especially like I feel like because of the diverse background, a lot of us are unsure where to take that degree once we finish. I finished in May. I'm taking it here to this podcast, I guess. and then hopefully I'm able to be able to like educate others. I think that's the big goal for the university is to bring a lot of people from diverse backgrounds and just educate as many professionals as possible.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
It sounds like you're a really driven person. I'm curious if you had any mentors growing up.
Growing up, it wasn't specifically, I mean, I grew up in a small town. My graduating class had 55 kids. And my mom always told me, she was just like, listen, I've been saving, like 20 bucks a month. Every month, like 20, 50 bucks is going into a college fund for you. Get straight A's. You can go wherever you want. So it was like perfect. And like being in a small town, I mean, it was great growing up on 8 acres, like grew up in the woods. It was awesome. Like I would not trade that childhood whatsoever. But it was just like, you can go is what always resonated with me. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go. Where? I don't fucking know. But like just having go, like, all right, let's do this. So like that's where the drive comes from. And then learning the hustle. And I don't know, maybe it's being a woman in any industry where I'm like, I don't want some fucking guy to tell me how much I'm worth. And then when I got into the mortgage industry, I fell in love and I moved across the country. He made more money than I did. I'm not saying that he held it over my head whatsoever, but there was just like weird thing about it sometimes. Like spoken, not spoken, spoken. And then when I was interviewing for the mortgage industry, my now still one of my good friends, my manager at the time, he's just like, so what drives you? Why do you want to work here? Like you have really like no sales back sales, like proper like phone hustle drive. I was just like, I need to make more money than my boyfriend. And he's like, what? I'm like, I just need to make more money than my boyfriend. So then I did.
Heck yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I definitely want to be mindful of your time. I know you're a busy lady. So I
Yeah.
want to thank you for coming on the podcast and being able to share your experience.
Yeah.
One last question for you.
Yeah.
If you were to give any advice for people that are currently growing up in this era and they want to take themselves seriously and be able to carry a lot of drive moving forward, what advice would you give them?
Keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going. Yeah, there are going to be days where you're going to want to punch yourself in the face. And if you know your why, you can endure the how.
Yeah, that's powerful. I just want to say I'm glad that microdosing has pulled the murder out of your heart because I mean, that could be the other side of the coin. You know, you could be a
Right?
notorious prolific serial killer or something. And where can listeners find you as far as like any content you're putting online, anything we can check out?
So I am on Instagram. It's my last name, Semix. S is in Sam, E, M is in Mary, EIKS. And then I'm also on LinkedIn. So Bethany Semix. Creep troll, add me. I'm a huge nerd. I clearly have no problem talking to anyone. Like, I'm down to chat about whatever, whenever. So just reach out anytime.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, everyone, that's all we have for today. That was Bethany Semix. You can find Bethany on LinkedIn or on Instagram. I want to thank you again, patrons, for making this episode possible. Through your support, I'm able to continue this podcast, so you will always have my undying love and gratitude. Also, if you liked this episode, please feel free to send it to someone who you know would also enjoy it. We'd also be eternally grateful if you were to rate us 5 stars and follow us wherever it is you get your podcast. For questions, comments, and community, go ahead and head over to our official Instagram at plantsavemylife.pod. Until next time, everyone, have a beautiful week.